Welcome back, friends. Why don't you grab your Bibles? I'm going to read our scripture passage, and then we'll unpack some of what you just talked about and get into it this morning. 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 19. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. And those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must also love their brothers and sisters. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this: that we obey his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As I'm sure you guys got into in your own discussion groups, the song that we talked about here, The Wanderer, where he says, they say they want the kingdom, but they don't want God in it. I wonder if the reason that the people he is reflecting on do not want God in their kingdom is that they experience God's commandments as a burden. And in this passage, John comes right out and says, his commandments are not burdensome. They're not a burden. They're not a weight for us to carry. They actually bring life. But how often have we instead experienced God's standards, experienced this very book as something that becomes a burden to us and weighs us down? Why would that be? Why would we in the end say we want our kingdom our way or God's kingdom, but our way, but we don't want God himself? Because we don't want, there are things in the way. And ultimately, we don't want his standards. We don't want his version of right and wrong. We want to go our own way and do our own thing. So we end up experiencing God himself and his standards as a burden because we experience sin. That in the end, we are selfish people. I am a selfish person. And selfishness causes God's commands to be a burden because God's commands are not just about me. They're about God himself and loving other people. And so if we experience God's commandments as a burden, start to look for sin issues. Where is it that I am currently still choosing myself over choosing God? And why is that? What's going on there? It's an invitation that God gives you to actually unpack your soul a little bit and go, what is it that's between me and God? Why am I not experiencing him and what he says as life-giving? Sin is not the only reason, though. Something else that might be in the way might be doubt. That in the end, we feel like we don't actually believe that what God is saying is what's best for us. We don't, in the end, think that he's right. We would, of course, say he's right, but then our actions start to betray us. And we don't, when we don't choose his way, we implicitly say, I don't believe you. I don't trust you when it comes to this particular thing. I have to go this way because this is the way the world works, or this I can't see another way around doing this. So we actually demonstrate there a lack of trust in who God is. We start to doubt him. We start to say, I know better. I'm not so sure you do. Another thing that might make us experience God himself or his commandments as a burden is if we think they're just arbitrary, that God just sort of made up some rules and sent them our way without any reason for it. And you know, children sometimes experience a lot of frustration when a parent just says, just do what I said because I said it, without actually providing the explanation. I think sometimes we haven't actually sought out what is God's heart behind what he has said here. And when we start to experience it as arbitrary, then it ends up being a burden to us. We just don't understand it. And And so it feels heavy. Other times I think we experience God as a burden and experience his standards as a burden if we actually feel like they are in the way of the good life. Because success looks like this, and right now God is in the way by what he has said. It's really, really hard to advance in business when I have to be honest. Ugh, honesty just sucks sometimes, right? Or it's really, really hard to be successful and to feel like I'm measuring up when I have to give money away. What's the deal with that? Ugh. Or it's really, really hard to find a spouse when the only applicants I can take for the position are Christians. Like, what the heck, God? And we start to experience God and his standards as a burden. But John is emphatic here that God himself and his standards, his commandments, are not a burden. So we have to unpack that. Why? Why are they not a burden? Those are the things that you're just going to have to deal with on your own, some of those things that I've just mentioned here. What is it for you? Is it that it seems arbitrary? Is it a doubt issue? Is it a sin issue? Or is it that you're experiencing, you're looking for the good life in some particular goal and you think that God's in the way? You unpack those in your own time. I'm going to now focus on why it is that John says these things aren't actually a burden to us. Because I want to make sure that in the end we hear what John, I think, is getting at. If things are only a burden to us, if we ourselves are more important than who God is. The whole purpose for John is that we love God more and live life more fully, knowing him more fully, up, out, in, right? The things that we talk about here regularly. Up, love God with everything we have. Out, love your neighbor as yourself. In, love one another. And if that is the entire goal of life, then these aren't a burden. These are going to help us do that. If that's the whole purpose of life is up, out, in, his standards are not a burden. They're going to help us with that. But when we sometimes experience that as getting in the way of what we actually want, it's selfishness. Nevertheless, if in the end our goal is that we love God most, more each day, if that is our purpose in life, to love God more each day, we won't experience these as a burden. We are going to experience these as joy and delight because it fosters that relationship. That's what John is after here. That's why he can say, this thing isn't a burden. It's not a burden because these things are going to help us with up and out and in. Love God. Love neighbor, love one another. And if that's the purpose of our life, these things are just the most wonderful gift that he could give us because it helps us get more of him. And we respond with joy because it deepens the most profound relationship. It deepens the best thing that we have ever been given. It's God himself. It deepens that intimacy with him. Now, notice what John says here. He says, his commandments are not a burden. And then he continues the sentence and says, because everything fathered or produced by God conquers the world. And this is profound. In order to understand it, we need to unpack a little bit. What does John mean by the world? And so if you go back through 1 John, here is how he describes the world. He describes the world as a place of selfish desire and lust and pride in chapter 2. He says, don't love the world or the things that are in the world. The love of the Father is not in those who love the world, because everything that is in the world, the desire of the flesh, the desire of the eyes, the pride and riches, it doesn't come from the Father, but it comes from the world. And everything there is passing away. Selfishness, pride, desire, lust. That's what he says is going to be conquered by what God produces in us as we experience his commandments, not as a burden, but as life-giving. What else does he say about the world? The world is the place for John where the false prophet belongs. And the world wants to hear what it wants to hear. And so the false prophets end up being out there. And John will say they are from the world and what they say is from the world and the world listens to them. It's the world that says, I only want to hear what I want to hear. So tell me more of what I want to hear and don't tell me anything I don't want to hear. It's again, that sort of selfishness, that egocentric thing that's going on here. That's what's in the world. That's what the world is. He also says the world just doesn't know God, doesn't relate to God. Chapter 3 talks about that. Chapter 5, John will talk about how the world is under the power of the evil one. He's talking about the evil one, Satan himself. The entire world is under the power of the evil one. The world for John is not a good place, not by a long shot. And yet in our passage, he says, his commandments are not burdensome because everything that God produces through those commandments, through our life lived in obedience to them, everything that's produced in us conquers the world, conquers everything we just talked about, conquers sin and selfishness, conquers that anti-God attitude. It conquers that attitude of just tell me what I want to hear and don't tell me anything I don't want to hear. It conquers the evil one and the evil one's influence in the world. John says that if we appreciate his commandments and the fact that they are not burdensome because they facilitate love for God, and that in loving God more, what he produces in us will actually conquer the world. That's just amazing. It's profound. But that's too high level. So let me actually help us experience this a little bit and see it a little bit in action. Let me give you a few examples of commands that sometimes we feel like are a burden. But if what is happening in John, what he is describing, starts to happen in us, we will see a transformation. So example number one, commandments that sometimes we feel like are a burden. And I'll speak to more children and teens first. Honor your father and mother. I know as a teen, you would hear that and just be like, ugh, right? Like, please don't remind me about that, right? You don't know my parents. They're not cool. Or they're not with it. Or we just disagree. We're constantly butting heads. Like, don't tell me once again, honor my parents. Give me a break. We have to hear these commands not as a burden, but as something that facilitates life. And frankly, we are an entire society that needs to relearn respect for authority. And now, parents, if you want to teach your kids to respect authority, you need to start by demonstrating that to them. When you talk about people who are in authority over you, the police, the politicians, your boss, whether you agree with them or disagree with them, but the way that you speak about those people, the church, church council, your pastor, whatever it is, the way that you speak about those people will teach your children to either honor authority or not. So we need to be careful there. If we don't teach our children, and if we do not honor those in authority over us, we will never honor the God who is in authority over all of us. So authority is really, really important. But when we start to do that, when we start to learn to honor and respect those, even when we disagree, I mean, that's when you actually teach honoring and respecting those in authority over us, is when you disagree, right? That's the only real opportunity for it, or the most profound opportunity for it. When you start to honor and respect those with whom you disagree and you demonstrate that to your kids, and that can be life-changing. When we start to do that together, when we honor and respect our parents, now, that's not just for teens, by the way. Honor your father and mother is actually a command probably given more towards people like my age, who are no longer under the authority of their parents, but are still required to honor and respect their parents. So when we do that together, when we learn to say, Lord, there's life in this commandment, what you are giving me here. If I can learn to honor and respect those in authority over me, I will learn to honor and respect you. And when we obey that command, what God will produce inside us will conquer the world, according to John. Because we start reinforcing what's right, and God will honor that and reproduce it in us. And we will end up choosing intimacy with God as a result. If we honor our parents, then we can expect that God will start to conquer the world through that, because we will not only gain intimacy with God, because every act of obedience is an act that God receives as a demonstration of love. So that's the first thing. That's the first way it's going to conquer the world. The second way it's going to conquer the world is because we will have freedom from the world's need to rebel. Have you noticed that the world has a need to rebel against authority? If it's a need, then you're not free from it. But we can actually experience freedom from that. What God will also produce in us is not only that freedom from needing to rebel. What he will produce in us is the ability to navigate conflict with authority in a way that's respectful, that will, in the end, give us the opportunity to make changes in the world. Because you can navigate that without alienating the people with whom you disagree. God will produce in us better relationships. So there are just so many rewards that come along from simply one act of obedience, where we honor our father and mother, where we begin to learn to respect those in authority over us. His commandments are not burdensome, because everything God fathers, everything that he produces in us, conquers the world, according to 1 John. According to that exact verse. I did forget to clarify as I read that verse that some of you in your translation, if you're looking at it from your own Bible there, verse 4 says, I'm reading it as, for whatever is born of God conquers the world. Some of your translations will say, whoever is born of God conquers the world. Whomever is born of God conquers the world. The Greek is broader than the just whoever or anyone or everyone. It is everything or whatever is born of God. It's broader than the personal everyone or anyone born of God. So if your translation says that and you're hearing me and you're going, I don't understand where this is going, it's because the Greek here, and so it comes out in the NRSV, for example, whatever is born of God conquers the world. So that's just a little clarifying note there. So that's the first example of how if we stop experiencing these as a burden, we can then start to see God produce something new in us because of new levels of intimacy with him, and it actually produces change that can conquer the world that John talks about. Second example, tithing. Just giving. And I'm not talking about tithing to church. Guys, our treasurer's going to get upset, but I don't really care. I don't care whether or not you give to the church. I think that you should, but not because that's another subject. In the end, this is not a self-serving message. Go give to the Dream Center. The Dream Center needs $1.4 million by, I think it's June of next year. Go give to Hope Mission that is still raising money for the project that they are quite literally building as they are going. So I'm not talking about make sure you pay my salary. Give it away. Wherever it goes, you make that up. You make up your own decision between you and God. Giving. I won't even talk about tithing in that sense, just giving. When it's seen as a duty, it becomes a burden, right? oh no, God is asking me to give so much away. And I had plans for this money. Now what do I do? I'm going to have to live on less. And you feel the pinch and you feel the burden of it. But when you start to experience these things as an act of obedience, that it's not a burden, it is an act of love and intimacy with God. You start to experience intimacy with God because it's an act of love. I get to give more away and please my Heavenly Father. Every act of obedience is an act that fosters intimacy with God. Every single act of obedience is an act that is received as love from God, and He therefore produces something new in us. And what He produces, as John says, conquers the world. So what does He produce when you start giving stuff away? Gratitude, generosity, joy. You also will end up receiving freedom from the need to hoard. Our world has a need to hoard. We're consumers, right? That by nature, the world views everyone as a consumer. And you get to step out of that when you say, no, I have received in order that I can give away, and my desire is actually to give away. You will receive freedom from the desire to compete and measure yourself against those who have more when you start giving away. You will receive freedom from the desire for more, 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 and that feeling of it's never enough, never enough, when we start giving away, because His commands are not a burden. And everything that, whatever it is that God fathers, conquers the world. We get freedom from the world by obeying what God commands, and we get intimacy with God in the process. How awesome is that? Third example, love your neighbor, love your enemy. When we see these things as duties, it becomes once again a burden. I can't believe I have to treat that particular person with any sort of dignity. They have never once treated me with dignity. And that becomes a burden when you experience it that way. But when you experience it as, I get to love God who loves this person by showing this person compassion and concern, care, by praying for this particular person, I get to experience intimacy with God because I show Him that I love Him by the way that I treat others. You're going to get freedom. You're going to get freedom from being controlled by that other person. Because we are bound. We are almost enslaved to other people in our reactions to them when we experience them as a burden. But His commands are not burdensome. And whatever is produced in us as a result of obeying those commands conquers the world. That's John's whole message. We get intimacy with God. Every act of obedience is received as an act of love to God. And He will produce in us, through that obedience, His compassion for that other person. He will change your heart towards your enemies. What I've done here, friends, is just taken a couple of different examples. You can do this with whatever command that you have read in the book that you feel like, I experience that as a burden. You can go through that and actually see it in a new way that will change your response to it. It will change your response to the people you encounter. It will change your very response to God. And you will receive greater and greater levels of intimacy with God when you start to experience obedience as fostering intimacy. If you want more of God, but you're not willing to go to greater levels of obedience, what you are saying is, God, you do all the hard work, and I'm simply going to reap the rewards. They say they want the kingdom, but they don't want God in it. That's essentially what we're saying. We don't really want God himself. What we want are his benefits. But every act of obedience can become an act of love. And then it's not a burden. We can have greater levels of intimacy, of closeness with the Father, with God himself. We get more of God himself as we learn to obey. Now the passage will go on and say, and what conquers the world? Our faith. Our faith. When we actually believe that guilty pleasures are a lie, that'll conquer the world. When we actually believe that God transforms us as we follow him in obedience, and it leads on to intimacy, because he will produce new things in us. When we actually start to believe that, when we actually believe that God will conquer the world through what he produces in us, then our faith will conquer the world. Let's pray. Lord, in speaking this message, I am just once again amazed and awed and just marveling at who Jesus is and the way that he lived this out perfectly. That he conquered the world as he followed you in obedience. He learned obedience through what he suffered. And there was no one more intimate with you. And there was no one who conquered the world more than Christ. And so, Lord, I pray that as we read your word, as we are reminded through your spirit and our conscience that there is a way that we need to live, as we are reminded of who you are and what you desire for your people, may we experience that not as a burden, but as something that fosters life, something that fosters our relationship with you so that we go deeper with you. Because Lord, I want to go deeper with you. Thank you for what you have given. Thank you for the relationship that we have. I want more, and I will be obedient. Call us to greater levels of obedience so that we can have greater levels of intimacy with you. May we not be hypocrites who just say that we want your benefits without your person and without your standards. May we be people who say, I will submit so that I get God. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you have poured out and continue to pour out your love on us. May we receive it and respond. May all of this be an act of response of gratitude and love for you. Thank you, Lord. Praise you. Amen. And now, let me read the benediction. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Go in peace, my friends. Thanks for being here with us today. Bless you.